You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the College Football Survivor Show, where playoff survival is always on the line. Here are your co-hosts, Doug LaMaurice and Shahan Jeharaja.
Back on the College Football Survivor Show, Doug and Shahan making bets, and this is dangerous territory, Shahan. I have said, now listen, I'm not much of a gambling man because I'm a terrible gambling man. And when you're a sports writer, you can't be betting on stuff that you're involved in, and you can't be, you know, like it's like you kind of just you just avoid it most of the time. But there was a time in my life where I said, well, if I had been like not afraid to have a bookie, I might have gotten my knees nailed to a floor. Right. That I mean, like, I think I might have that in me if I allowed it to happen. And I have never allowed it to come close to happening. But do you have the gambling Jones inside of you? Do you get a percolating when you think about putting money on sports?
You know, it's funny. I think that I have like a kind of addictive personality. So I've been like afraid to get into that world because I don't want to like get into that world too much. And of course, sports betting's illegal. I would never do it in the state of Texas where we have normal laws. But no, I mean, I do like to do it from like the theory perspective, but like I am so afraid of losing money. Like I am I'm like, man, I only make sports writer money. Like it's I don't have a whole lot to just throw out the window.
So fake gambling is the best kind of gambling for us then, because it's not our money in the line. It's just our reputations.
And you can buy a new one of those.
I mean, and I can't stomp on my own reputation any more than I already have so far in my career. So what we are going to do is we're giving ourselves 1,000 fake dollars. But by the way, a lot of people listening, you can bet. You can't yet. I am in Ohio. You can't yet in Ohio, but January 1st, it's going to be legal. So it's like they're missing this football season. But by the playoff, we'll be able to do it.
Maybe by the time that Texas is back, you can bet on them.
Yeah. So, right. When Texas is playoff team.
It'll take a while to get legal down here, I think.
That'll be the thing. That's what they should do. Say sports betting will become legal in Texas as soon as Texas wins 10 games.
Oh, boy. They better hurry and do it before they get to the SEC, because I don't know. Maybe they'll extend the season to 16 games and then Texas will have a chance to win 10 games.
So we will have a Texas discussion later. So we.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is right. We have 1,000 fake dollars to play with. We've used two sites. One is the Caesar's Palace site, which is very operational. It's actually directs you to williamhill.com. They're like the guys in England. Man, I was in covering the Olympics in England in 2012. And you just walk in off the street and you like write something on a notepad. You know, you write in like, 10 pounds on this guy to win a gold in judo, and you hand it to somebody behind the counter and they're like, yeah, that's cool. Okay, here. And like, that's your ticket. It is like, it really is. I'm like, it made me think like, if I don't win this bet, are you going to nail my kneecaps to a floor somewhere? So it can be so easy, but this William Hill, sportsbook that we used online is very operational. They have a lot of over under win totals, which is a lot of my bets. They have odds to win conference championships. They have national title odds. And then we want to do a little Heisman stuff. So on FanDuel, they have a lot of odds on teams to win at least 10 games. They also have over unders. They have conference winners, division winners within conferences, national championship odds, but they also have some Heisman odds. So I made a couple Heisman bets based off their odds, Shahan. So it's nice. Yeah. You know, kind of have a mix of things that we can try to think about. There wasn't everything that I wanted using those two sites. There wasn't every single bet in the world, but I thought it was pretty comprehensive what our options were.
Yeah, no, we had a lot, and I don't know. Because again, the Caesars one is the one that we normally use over at CBS Sports. And like, sometimes you just log on and you're like, where are things? Like, I just opened it today and actually they've had Heisman winners the whole time and I just didn't even notice. So listen, as long as we got the numbers, this is all fake money anyway, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, it's all fake money anyway. So let's start with, I'm going to start with my biggest bet. I have a $200 bet with my $1,000 bankroll. That is my biggest bet. And this is an over-under win total on a team that I think is just going to be a team that I'm going to believe in this year. I have maybe like two or three that I think are going to be the case. On my other podcast, Buckeye Talk, we actually had done some things like this with some bets a year ago. My big thing a year ago was going under on Clemson and Bama, either under 11 or under 11 and a half for their regular season win totals, because I just thought neither of them were going to get through undefeated. And so, like, I hit on both of those. So it was just like, I just didn't feel that with those teams last year. And some of these great teams, Shahan, when you're doing a 12-game regular season and the over-under win total, the over-under is 11 or 11 and a half. So you're just betting undefeated regular season or not when you're talking about the two or three best teams in the country. I'm taking Clemson over 10 and a half wins. That's the line on Caesars. Over 10 and a half for $200. It's minus 125. So betting $200, I'll win 360. And the reason I like that is, of their 12 games, I think there's nine that you look at them and say, they really should probably win those games. And then you have Notre Dame, North Carolina State, and Miami. So they have to win two of those three and go 11-1 for me to win my bet. And I don't even have to, like, I didn't bet on them to win the ACC because there's like a world where if North Carolina State is the game that Clemson loses and North Carolina State runs the table, Clemson could be an 11-win team that doesn't make the ACC championship game. And so this bet is just about Clemson. I don't have to worry about what NC State does because they could lose to NC State and still win me my money. I just think Clemson's going to be good. And a year ago, they were either 11 or 11 and a half. I think they're at 10 and a half because last season got a little hairy, because they lost their two coordinators, because there's some questions about DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback. But I think with Cade Klubnik, they can solve that if there are major questions. I think they are very easily going to get off to a hot start before the NC State game. So this was the bet I liked the most, $200 on Clemson over 10 and a half.
So I think that Clemson is going to be much more back to normal this year for sure. I'm not super worried about Clemson's long-term trajectory, but the one thing I don't like about it is that it's a little bit of a tricky schedule because you mentioned it, obviously you have those three big games that I think will stand above all the rest. And the good news is that they get most of their tricky games at home, but they go at Wake Forest versus North Carolina State. At Florida State, I think, is going to be a big game for Florida State. At Notre Dame is a game that I'm definitely worried about. And then Louisville, I think, is actually a game that that could get a little chaotic if Malik Cunningham's rolling. And then you mentioned Miami and South Carolina in the last 2 weeks. So
now you believe in South Carolina? Now my 10.5 Clemson, now you're warning me of Spencer Rattler?
I'm warning you that it could be one of, I think that South Carolina deserves to be in the Louisville conversation, which is to say, as a team that could accidentally do something. Now, that's a rivalry game, so Clemson's going to win that game. But
a team that could accidentally do something. That is a great category. I feel like as we discuss teams, that is a category.
I think that South Carolina has a lot in common with Nathan Peterman Pitts. I think that they could be Syracuse someday, maybe. So, but all that to say, there's just a lot of potholes on the schedule, like more than usual, I think. And so that's what would worry me. I think it's probably 10-2. I think it's probably still they're really good and win 10 games. And again, I think that anybody should consider 10-2 relatively back to normal, but at Notre Dame as a non-conference game is a lot. And again, luckily they get a lot of these big games at home, which I think will help out a lot. But even at BC, I think could be a pretty tricky game with Phil Jurkovec back. So just a few too many. I don't know if I'm buying into that one.
So this is, again, this is a team that has been a playoff regular. And frankly, 10-2, I would say, is not back to normal for Clemson. Normal for Clemson is making the playoff, and 10-2 is not making the playoff. So is your, the way you just described that, is your biggest question about this bet that the ACC is better than it has been, or that you have real questions about Clemson returning to their previous status?
A little of this, a little of that. I think that, you know, one thing that I've seen, you know, just kind of across college football, I guess you could say, is when there's a dominant team in different conferences, right? When there's like a truly dominant team, you know, the Pac-12 can look real weak and the ACC can look real weak because a dominant team can go through those things. But once you get to like 90% of a dominant team, well, then all of a sudden you're at a level where you're susceptible to a lot of teams. Clemson's going to be the best team in the league. I think that I would lean towards them winning the league next year, but I think that they're not 100% Clemson, and 100% Clemson can blow through the schedule, right? But I think if they're 90% Clemson and getting real close, but even if they have to, you know, have some quarterback questions, or even if they switch to Cade Klubnik after the Wake Forest game or after the NC State game, and there's just some growing pains, I think that I'm a little worried that that there are just going to be a few too many questions to get through all of that unscathed.
Okay. What's your big bet?
My big bet is I am keeping it simple. It's also a $200 bet. It would net me $360, and it is Alabama winning the national championship.
Wow.
They bring back the best player in the country on offense, the best player in the country on defense, a whole lot of production. They added some key transfers at wide receiver, which was their big question mark last year. They added somebody who I think can contribute at left tackle. They, I think, will be more of a defensive team than we've seen in years past. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a chance to be an All-SEC running back. And to me, I don't even so they'll play Georgia in the SEC championship game, and Georgia's not going to be bad, you know. But I don't think that they're going to be national title level this year after everything that they've lost. And that's the first game that I even really feel like they could lose. And then again, we've talked about it already all offseason. It's Alabama, Ohio State, in my opinion, on a collision course in the national championship game. And I like Alabama better right now. I think they're a more balanced team. I think that they have a better quarterback personally. You know, obviously, Ohio State has a lot of pieces to make that competitive, but I think that Alabama heading into the year absolutely deserves to be the preseason number one. They absolutely deserve to be the favorites. One thing that I will mention is that there was a very funny bet, which is hold on, I'm pulling it up on Caesars. It's champion versus field. Any other team wins the 2023 championship, or Georgia, Alabama, or Ohio State wins it. The Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama one is -345, which so like if you bet on anybody other than those three teams to win the national championship at $100, you only get 270 back. Like, it's kind of crazy, right? Or you get 270 back, which is kind of crazy. And so, I think that shows how dominant these teams are. I don't think Georgia's going to be quite that this year, but I understand why they're in that conversation. I just think Alabama's the best team in the field by a pretty sizable margin, and they have plenty of time to prove it.
And you think, so that's +180 when you just look at the Caesars book. Bama's +180, so that's a little less than 2-1, which is why you'll win $360 in a $200 bet. Ohio State's +375, Georgia 4-1, and then a big jump, Clemson 14-1, USC 25-1, Texas A&M 25-1. You think those are good enough odds on Bama to like make it worth the bet, right? That you're getting almost 2-1, and my goodness, it's a pretty darn good Saban team with arguably the two best players in the country. That's worth plopping 200 on.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, it's basically, again, something will happen, something always happens, but to me, it's a two-team race, right? So if I'm doing the math in my head, I think it's almost, it's not going to work like this because that's not how gambling and odds works, but it's almost like if you gave Alabama and Ohio State 50-50 odds, that's what I kind of am thinking in my head as the potential way to go, right? So if you had given me even odds, I don't think that's a bad bet. If you're giving me plus odds by nearly 2-1, like you mentioned, I just think that there's a lot of value there. And I think that Alabama is going to potentially be a lot better than everybody else.
All right. So I'm going to stay with a national title bet then, because I do have one of those, and it's also Clemson. And I'm going to take Clemson at 14-1 for $50. If it hits, I win $750. It's just that, again, Clemson has been in the lead pack, and they had one weird year where their quarterback was off, and now there's three clear teams and then a huge gap to them. So I feel like if they are close to what they have been in the past, then 14-1 odds is really, really good. I think they're going to be, and maybe, I guess maybe Bama's right there probably, and Georgia's not far behind, but I really do think Clemson very likely will have the best defense in the country. I think their running backs are good. And I think there's a chance that quarterback works out. And I think it's possible that quarterback works out really well because they have two talented guys. And either DJ gets it back together or Cade is ready. And then that solves a big glaring hole. They also had some injury issues last year. I just think I like the value of Clemson at 14-1 when I don't know what the odds were in years past, but I'm sure they weren't much more than ever 4-1 for Clemson before the season, the previous 5 years, because they're Clemson, man. So that's a $50 value bet to win $750 on Clemson. Did you make any other national title bets, or did you just like throw a flyer at anybody, or you just stuck with Bama?
No, I just stuck with them. I just think it's a two-team race this year. And so I think that there's some value on Ohio State, but to me, that's almost hedging, right? Like, that's almost just hedging to bet Ohio State. And I don't really feel the need to do that. And, you know, look, 14-1, I think, like you said, is great odds for Clemson. My question with them getting to that level is just ultimately, you know, when they've won twice, right, they've had two transcendent college football quarterbacks, like transcendent. And
one was a true freshman.
Yes. One who was a true freshman for sure. And maybe Cade Klubnik is that guy, right? Like, I mean, he is a really good player. But, you know, look, I'm not going to read too much into my having some knowledge of Texas high school football. I don't view Cade Klubnik as that same kind of number one quarterback recruit as Trevor Lawrence or as Quinn Ewers, to be honest. But he's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's a plug and play situation like with Trevor Lawrence. But with the odds that you get, I don't think that's a bad bet at all. I think that there's definitely a shot, but I probably just can't see another team breaking into that top two group.
Okay, so no more national title bets for you.
No more.
Did you make any conference champ bets?
So let me actually move, because you stuck with Clemson for your first two bets. I'm sticking with Alabama for my first two bets.
Okay.
I think that there is going to be a lot of fervor for Will Anderson to win the Heisman Trophy. I think that after last year, everybody was talking like, can you believe Will Anderson did make, which, by the way, all this talk started happening after, the Heisman stuff was announced, right? This wasn't happening before, but it is so rare that a transcendent defensive player returns in college football, right? I mean, Aiden Hutchinson kind of comes out of nowhere last year. If he comes back for another year, right, we're talking about him as a Heisman favorite. When you look at the odds right now for Will Anderson to win the Heisman Trophy, plus 4,000 right now at Caesars. So I only bet $50 on it, but I would get a $2,000 payout.
40 to 1.
And I think that there's a huge appetite for a defender to win the award in general. I think that that Alabama, like I mentioned, I expect them to be the best team in the country and to win the national championship. And if they do that, Bryce Young will have to exceed what he did last season in order to win it again. And this will be an Alabama team that I believe will be more defense first than there has been in a couple of years. And so if it is a really good defense, like a top five type defense that manages to really suffocate teams, not to the level of Georgia last year, but not in a dissimilar way, and Will Anderson has another year with close to 15 sacks, I think that there's going to be a lot of excitement. Because here's the thing, when it comes to Alabama and when it comes to them being this good, is like, it really does depend on the narrative, right? It depends on what narrative comes about, because you can pick any number of players, right? I mean, I think that you can obviously make a case for Jahmyr Gibbs again. I think Jermaine Burton's going to have a huge year for them at wide receiver. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a 1,500-yard rusher for them as well. But if the narrative gets centered around, well, Will Anderson got snubbed last year and he's the best player in college football, which is, again, something that people said after we resolved all of this, I think that he has a chance to be the first defensive player to win the Heisman since, what, Desmond Howard, I think it was?
Yeah. Since Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. Sorry. Yeah. The other Michigan guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I made that case on this podcast like 4 months ago or whatever, when we did some really early Heisman picks. And I also have that. $50, 40-1 for Will Anderson. The only problem is if guys like you and I keep talking about this, we're going to drive the odds down. before the season starts.
Yeah, but we're betting now. We're betting now. It's fine.
No, we're getting in now. You got to get in while there's still value on this, because at some point it's like you can't bet on a Heisman. You can't bet on a defensive guy to win the Heisman before the season like 10-1. That wouldn't make any sense. You've got to get value on this.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, right? Because I was shocked to see that he's still this low. I feel like the narrative has started to take over it. Now, to be clear too, right? Like, we live in an online Twitter world sometimes, and so us talking about a thing doesn't necessarily shape reality all the time. But I do think that it has a disproportionate effect on what media talks about and what people are thinking about in a given moment. So, you know, I think that if we head into next year and there's all this talk about, wow, yeah, I mean, they tried to do it with Jordan Davis, right? Like, I think that if Georgia wins the SEC championship game, even though Jordan Davis, we've obviously talked about him greatly, I don't think that he was as important as people said he was during the season. I think that that narrative is going to happen a lot more for Will Anderson. And I think that he's going to be able to back it up in a much bigger way.
So I 1000% agree with this. And he's going to be who I actually pick to win the Heisman. Mm. When we do whatever I'm doing it, whether I'm writing it, whether I'm talking about it on this podcast or another podcast, it's like, hey, who do you think is going to win the Heisman? Last year I picked Sam Howell.
Yeah.
That was wrong. But I'm going to pick Will Anderson because I buy everything you said. We've talked about it a lot. I think at 40-1, he's still a really good value. And I have another Heisman bet. So I gave myself two Heisman bets. And I've also talked about this, but I think the pathway for Jackson Smith and Jigba, there's a path. What's the path?
Thought very hard about him.
Like the best season a receiver's ever had statistically for a national title contender. That's the path. He's 50-1. So I'm putting $50 on him to win 5,000. So I'll throw $50 at each of these guys. Will Anderson at 40-1, Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State at 50-1. It is a quarterback award, but the one quarterback already won it. And I think that makes it harder for him to win it this time with Bryce Young. And CJ Stroud, whether it's fair or not, I think it's possible that some voters may say, yeah, man, he's great and he put up huge numbers, but he has such great weapons there and they might go to the weapon. And Jackson Smith and Jigba had such a huge year last year. If he has 2,000 receiving yards in the 13 games before the Heisman is voted on, I really think the voting populace may go to him. May go to him instead of the quarterback. And that's the thing that you've got to wrap your head around in these situations where, okay, well, why would you vote for the receiver instead of the quarterback? Why do they vote for Devontae Smith instead of Mac Jones? Listen, CJ Stroud was already a Heisman finalist. He has a much bigger profile than Mac Jones. But I think, again, fair or not, and actually it's unfair, but he had Jackson Smith and Jigba plus Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave last year when he put up all these huge numbers. And if it's just like, man, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's the best college receiver I've ever seen. I'm not saying that he is, but that's the path. So I like it at 50-1. And you said you thought about it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that the thing that works in his favor is that, you know, this is an unfair reading. I want to be clear of what I'm saying. But I think that last year, you know, Ohio State had arguably the three best receivers in the entire country. And if they didn't, it's because one of them left from Ohio State to go to Alabama. And like in my mind, and again, it's unfair, it felt like they were like, well, wow, they got all these great receivers. Who do we give it to? Why don't we give it as a team award to CJ Stroud? Right. I think that that very much is what happened. This year, I think that there's going to be a dominant guy, right? There's going to be one guy that you point to and say, that is the best receiver. There's no question about it. Could have done that last year, I think, with Garrett Wilson, but, you know, they didn't. And so I think that that heading into this year, he's got the hype. He just, put together the best receiving season in the history of the Big Ten, right? And so the hype's going to be there. He's been a first-team All-American. He's going to be not just the favorite to win the Biletnikoff, but I think the overwhelming favorite to win the Biletnikoff. And so I think if he has a chance to come in and put up huge numbers, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be in the conversation. And the other thing I'll mention, too, is that I think that with the receiver as well, you made this point before. If you have a week where you have two catches for 70 yards, you can make up for it if you're a receiver in a different way than if you're a quarterback. And so I think that there's a pathway there. We've obviously seen he can have the transcendent type games like he had against Utah in the Rose Bowl. I mean, obviously you don't expect somebody to have whatever 350 yards or whatever it was again. But, you know, if he has a 250 yard game against anybody, right, it doesn't even matter, much less in a big game. I absolutely think that he's going to be in the conversation to join Devontae Smith as recent wide receiver Heisman winners.
Garrett Wilson missed two games for Ohio State last year. He opted out of the Rose Bowl, and he missed the Nebraska game because he was hurt. In those two games, Jaxon Smith-Njigba had 547 receiving yards.
Seems good.
So listen, they have other really good receivers, including Marvin Harrison Jr., who a lot of people think is going to pop this year. But like when he's the guy and he's the guy, he's the guy. So, okay, do you want to come along? You said you thought about it. And you also said maybe you weren't up against the $1,000 threshold. You want a little $50 nibble on this? Come on, man.
All right, okay. All right. Let's do it. Let's put another $50 on JSN.
So I like those little nibbles because the Heisman is always you think you know going into the year. Oh, well, yeah, no, it's going to be this. And the Heisman is often nuts, often has a guy out of nowhere.
So if I put 50, that's 2,500 payout, right? That's what we're looking at.
No, we're looking at is that right?
50 to one on $50 is 2,500, right? That's what we'd be paying out.
No, we're paying out. Oh, wait. See, now this is bad.
Not math.
Podcasting. No, but what are we paying out on Will Anderson at 40 to 1?
I had 2,000 down for that.
Okay, right. So that's 2,000 and then 2,500. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Like, we'll take that.
That's great value. That's great value.
Yeah. So we feel good about any other Heisman things for you?
No. I mean, I think that there's some value, but like, it's just... the top of the board is so obvious, and I think that it's almost too obvious, right? Like, people are going to be clamoring for Caleb Williams to win the Heisman. People are going to be clamoring for Tyler Van Dyke at Miami. I think they have to have playoff seasons in order for that to happen, and I don't know that I see that, you know. And again, if you want to put money on Stroud or Young, you know, it's a good bet, yeah, but, like, that's boring. I don't want to do that.
40 to 51. Yeah, we're going to win 2,000 or 2,500 on this. Okay. What else is everything else for me is mostly over unders. So what do you have anything else left that's not like an over under win total?
No, actually, because, you know, it was funny. I really wanted to do a championship odds, but I just didn't feel like there's a lot of value. I expected to have a little more value than there was.
All right. I did a crazy one.
Okay. I like it.
One crazy championship odds. And it was a little bit because I couldn't find a way to bet on this team otherwise. The site that has win more than 10 games, this team was not one of the options that I saw. The over-unders, I couldn't find them in the over-under win totals for whatever reason. And it's BYU.
Oh, I saw them.
You did? I'm kind of in on BYU, and I couldn't figure out how to vote on them, so I decided to bet $20 on them to win the national championship at 200 to 1. So I'll make that bet, and that's my BYU bet. Like, I'm all in. I'm all in on, like, they beat Baylor, they beat Notre Dame, they get in as the fourth spot, and then, like, Jaren Hall goes crazy, and they're super veteran, and, oh, my God, BYU won the national title.
Yeah. You'll never get. Yeah, so I found it. They do have their odds on the site. You have to scroll down a little bit, to be fair. Guess what their over-under is?
8.5.
7.5. That's insane to me.
Can I wipe out all my previous bets and just bet $1,000 on the BYU over? I didn't know it was that bad.
It's crazy, wow. Right? I don't understand what's happening there. Am I missing something? Like, the schedule is really hard. I want to be very clear about that.
It is hard.
Insane. But, like, it's like, oh man, can't believe they lost three games type hard, not like 6-6, you know? Like, I don't see the vision on that at all.
Like, every tough game, every game against a team with the pulse, they lose. Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, no,
they you know, maybe national title money. You know, maybe I'm throwing $20 away. All right. Well, I couldn't find it. I even did the little search. I did the little, like, search.
You have to, like, scroll. Like, it's
that's, I put in Brigham. Yeah. I put in BYU. Yeah, I put in Young. It wouldn't pop up. So, all right. Knowing that, I may shift one of my later bets on one of my over-unders. But that's the last sort of, like, title or Heisman thing I have. So I'll still sort of throw $20 on them at 200 to 1. The rest of it, we're running through teams. I feel a little bit bad. This is a playoff show. Not all my bets are, like, playoff-level teams.
Oh, no, not at all.
That's okay. We don't have to talk about only the playoff 24 hours a day, but we'll get back to all of this after this on the College Football Survivor Show.
Don't Don't miss the College Football Survivor Show bonus episode this week, available only on Apple Podcasts.
Most of what we like is the football. Most of what we like is the players. Most of what we like is the tradition. Most of what we like is the feeling on Saturday. Most of what we like is the fans. Most of what we like is the passion. Most of what we like is how much people care about this sport and how that 3 hours on Saturday can be so exhilarating and satisfying and unifying, right? That we'll get into that. But it's July, so we're complaining. Our complaints are mostly structural. And I don't know if this is how everything works. Like, you like the thing, you dislike the logistics. But I think, man, in college football, boy, is there such a disparity between the two.
Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts for exclusive College Survivor Show bonus episodes.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Doug and Shahan back betting fake money. I have bet $200, $350, $370 so far. Shahan's bet $300. All right, why don't you give us one of your over-under win totals that you really like?
So this one is a combo. They're both related. I actually have another combo later on, too. It is Kansas State.
Ooh.
$100 for them to go over 7 wins, and that's at minus 145, and $50 on them to go 10 wins. Which is 40-1. So potentially with that one, if they got to 10 wins, we'd be talking about 2,000, and over 7 would still get you $69 regardless. So it's, look, the Big 12 teams came out today, the preseason all Big 12 team. Kansas State had the most selections on it with 6. I would argue that they have the most proven player on offense and defense in the Big 12 in Deuce Vaughn at running back and Felix Anaduke Uzoma on the defensive line. I feel like I'm missing something. I don't understand where the optimism is for them. And look, 10 is asking a lot. I think that I feel most comfortable with it being at 9. But if you're going to ask me to throw $50 down on the idea that maybe they could pull one more upset than I expect, I mean, this team has a chance to be really good.
I know what it's just. Kansas State wins all the games you expect them to win, plus they beat Texas, then you get your money, right? Is that your theory?
I mean, you act like I didn't consider them to beat Texas already. what are you talking about?
You already have the Kansas State.
They get Texas at home on November 5th.
You're not going to like my Texas bet. Okay, so no, Kansas State, I like doubling down on that. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to wipe out one of my other picks. I am going to bet $100 on BYU over 7.5.
Go for it. I still have $100 in free money, by the way, that I haven't allocated somewhere. So I'm looking for more.
Okay, so you want to come along on BYU? Or do you have BYU?
Not yet. I think the over is a good pick. Let me, I'll keep it in mind, and maybe I'll throw it on at the end.
Can I tell you something? I am incredibly optimistic. I'm not an optimistic person. Am I optimistic? I'm both angry, but upbeat, I think. Well, am I optimistic? We'll have to talk about that later. I have all overs. I don't pick a single under because I just, hey, this guy, they're going to be good. And they're going to, like, what is wrong with us?
I got to find an under. I got to pour some cold water on somebody. I'm not going to pick Texas. That's too obvious.
All right, so BYU for over 7.5 wins for $100, that's like my lock of the year practically. Yeah, so, yeah. All right, give us another over under for you then on somebody that you like.
Well, I just did K State. You go now.
All right, I'll go. Well, I just did BYU, but I'll do somebody besides BYU. I'm gonna do Michigan State over 7.5. And a year ago, Michigan State's win total was like 3 or 4 or something. Like there were people who thought they were going to finish last in the Big Ten East, and they won 10 regular season games, and they were great. And they have a lot back. They have back, you know, Jaden Reed is back. Jaden Reed probably is the second best receiver in the Big Ten. Peyton Thorne at quarterback might be the second best quarterback in the Big Ten. Mel Tucker's a defensive coach. I think you can believe that their defense, their pass defense was awful last year. They have a bunch of transfers in to help with that. They have two transfers at running back to help replace, not be as good as Kenneth Walker III, but I think their running game will still be pretty good. I think you look at their schedule, their non-conference schedule's not super tough. And so 7.5, it's like, all right, lose to Ohio State, lose to Michigan, whatever. But like it's still, I think, a very, very doable path to 8-4, kind of only winning the games that are kind of right in front of them. So I just think there's not a reason to think that Michigan State's, you know, going to fall off a cliff. The way they start, I think they have a chance to be 5-0 when they host Ohio State on October 8th. And then after that, they still have Illinois. They still have Rutgers. They still have Indiana. So, and then it's like, well, they also could beat, you know, a team like Penn State or Michigan or Wisconsin, you know, one of the decent teams they play. So I feel pretty good about it. People really underestimated Michigan State last year, and I think they're still slightly underestimating Michigan State this year. So I'll go $100 at -125 over 7.5. I'll win 180 on that bet.
Yeah, I looked at that number and was like, that feels crazy. Like I definitely felt like I was going to go over, but man, they do get a tough draw this year because they're going to Penn State, to Michigan. They have Ohio State at home. They got Wisconsin from the West right now. They have to. I think that to Maryland is going to be kind of a tricky game. At Washington is kind of a tricky game. Like there's, again, I kind of sort of like what I said with Clemson. There's just like a lot of tripping up points. I think they get 8. I'm pretty sure they get 8. Like you said, maybe it's losing a bad one and winning a good one. But it is just so tight. Like that 7.5, I think, is a really, really good line to set for Michigan State.
All right. Who you got next?
All right. I'm going to go with my other combo. I'm going to, of course, like I do, take it to the state of Texas. And
UTSA and Houston parlay. What is this?
That actually sounds like a great idea. I might actually have to start a sports gambling to do that. But no, so you did get one half of it right. I think that Houston has a chance to be this year Cincinnati. Now, maybe not make the field, right? Maybe not make the field like Cincinnati did last year. I think it's going to be a little bit more competitive this year among the Power 5 teams. But I really like what Houston brings back. They've got a great track record of developing defensive talent. I know that there was one of the draft guys was putting out like, here are some of the guys that NFL teams like from the group of five. I know Javarius Owens at safety is a guy who a lot of people like. Donovan Mouton at linebacker. I think they had another defensive lineman, and they've put two defensive linemen into the first two rounds in the past couple of years. And by the way, Clayton Toon, their quarterback, won the Manning Pass It Out Challenge at the Manning Camp. Like, they are really good. I didn't even mention Tank Dell, who I think might be the best receiver in the group of five. It's a really strong group, and I think that they're going to have a chance to prove some of this early, right? They actually get UTSA in week one, which will be a fun game. I expect them to win that one pretty easily, but should be a fun game. They go to Texas Tech in week two. And I think that the AAC schedule is going to be pretty manageable. So I like what Houston is working with. I think that they have a chance to be pretty good. When you look at the odds, I think that their over-under is at 9. They're -125 on that. So that's $80. And then they also have +400 odds, I believe, to go to 10 wins, and that's 2,000. So I like them a lot. Or actually, no, wait, sorry. I think that is, I believe that that's conference championship, they're +400. So actually, I do have one, and it's 200.
Okay. So, I mean, it is. It's one of those things. It's sometimes when you find a team that you really like, it's kind of hard to express necessarily, like, well, I like them, but if enough other people like them, then the odds on the thing I like aren't going to be that great anyway. But you just have like, this is a strong belief in Houston. That is, it's not like nobody believes in Houston, but your belief is a little bit strong enough to make the odds worth it.
Yeah. And I was a little surprised, right? I mean, I know Cincinnati just won the whole thing and made the playoff last year. So they deserve all the respect in the world. But they're the favorite, and they did lose a lot, right? All of their kind of really key guys. So I think that this could be a 10-2 year for Cincinnati. And guess what? Luke Fickell will live. He's not going to get fired. I think we'll be okay. And then UCF, I was a little surprised to see that they were favored over Houston to win the AAC. So I think getting them at the third best odds at 4-1, that makes a lot of sense for me. And if you're going to toss $50 some way, I like it there.
Okay, I'm going to bet the over on another team that is one that I haven't traditionally liked. And in the past, I've actually made fun of people who have believed in this team.
Wisconsin?
It is Wisconsin.
Look at that.
I did a podcast one time, like the year that people were picking Wisconsin to make the playoff. I made like national writers who had picked Wisconsin to make the playoff. And then they lost like three games in the first six or something. I made them come on my podcast and defend their ridiculous choice of Wisconsin as a playoff team. But I think Wisconsin has a decently solid chance to go 11-1 in the regular season this year. They are going to be the team that I picked to win the Big Ten West. They play at Ohio State on September 24th. But I think it's quite possible that, like, in the rest of their games, they're the better team. And so over 9 wins, 9 does not, like, the idea that I can push on 9-3 and win on 10-2 for the team that is favored to win the Big Ten West. I didn't bet on them to win the West because it's like, again, I'll just bet on them to on their record. And then I don't have to worry if, like, oh, Iowa went crazy or Nebraska had this awesome season. I just think it's what we've talked about a couple times of their defense is good. Jim Leonard as a defensive coordinator is great. I think Braylon Allen is as good as any running back in the country. And I think I would lump Bijan Robinson and Trayvon Henderson in there. I don't think I give a caveat with Braylon Allen. I think he's as good as anybody.
This is absolutely Deuce Vaughn erasure. I hate it.
No, I think there's a top group. I don't know that, like, Bijan's a monster, right? And Trayvon Henderson had a great true freshman year, but I don't know that those guys separate themselves from Deuce Vaughn or Braylon Allen or some of these other great running backs. That there are, I think maybe there's 8 guys who are the top group.
Deuce is in the top group, but other than that, I agree with you.
And I just think, what if Graham Mertz is good? Like, what if Graham Mertz is decent? Oh, what if Graham Mertz is solid?
How do you go your whole career joking about Wisconsin quarterbacks, and then you see Graham Mertz, and you're like, woo, maybe this is the one.
Because he was a top 100 recruit.
Oh, my gosh.
And I love recruiting
ratings. Oh, my gosh. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, guess what? Sometimes guys then go play college football and look bad. And sometimes they're bad at football.
You're a hater. So I do think, like Graham Mertz has to be good Graham Mertz for them to go 11-1.
So they're not going 11-1.
But I think even like if he's kind of like, you're right on Graham Mertz, I think they can still go 10-2 and still at least go 9-3 and I push. So I'll bet $100 on over 9 wins for Wisconsin. It's -115. I win $186 on that bet. So I'm not usually on the Wisconsin bandwagon, but I am this year.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't have to include a plus Graham Mertz all Big Ten quarterback type bet along with it, I like the bet. I think that there are 3 obvious sort of losable games in there with Ohio State, with Michigan State, and then I think that one of Iowa or Nebraska probably. And so that gives them a little bit of a cushion, right? I think that it does. I feel pretty confident that they're not going to do worse than push. I don't think that you'd lose your money on this bet. So from that perspective, I think it's a good quality and good value, rather. And so I absolutely think that they're going to win the West as well. I think that Braylon Allen is a difference maker for them. And I'm excited to see what he can do with the full season behind him. I'm really excited for that Ohio State game. Maybe it just ends up being an air raid and it doesn't matter. But you know, maybe there's something there.
I mean, it's one of those things. I don't think Wisconsin is going to come into Ohio State on September 24th and beat Ohio State. But with a really good defense and a really good run game, and if Ohio State still doesn't, you know, have things straightened out at linebacker, and I don't know, you know, that's, they got maybe a puncher's chance in a game like that, but I just think 9's a good number for them. All right, what's another one for you here, Sean?
Yeah, we're gonna take it to the Atlantic Coast, but not the conference. Am I missing something? Why is Coastal Carolina's line 8? That feels crazy to me when they might have a top 5-10 quarterback in the country coming back and Grayson McCall. They lose some key pieces. I want to be very clear about that. This is not a flawless team, but at the same time, I mean, Coastal Carolina has earned the right to be considered that kind of program that can reload, especially with Grayson McCall still on campus. Again, their line is 8. They're -115 to do that. You win $87 on a $100 bet. Again, with some of these, I just feel like I'm missing something, like that there's like some obvious, like, oh, yeah, by the way, Jamie Chadwell now lives on Mars or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand why they haven't earned the right, because like the favorite to win the Sun Belt, by the way, is Louisiana after Billy Napier left and they lost a whole lot of production, not to mention multiple players to Florida. So I don't understand what I'm missing on them. And I think that the answer is maybe I'm not missing anything and they actually just have a chance to be really good. In the non-conference slate, they go to Virginia, which I think will be a great game that maybe they have the chance to win. And otherwise, it's Buffalo, Gardner-Webb, Army, and they get a pretty weak Sun Belt schedule. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like they have a chance to still win 10 or 11 games.
That's interesting because, yeah, it's not the schedule. It's not the schedule that you look and say, oh, well, yeah, they have three losable games in the non-conference, and that's why it's only eight. So, okay, well, that sounds good. That sounds like a good number for you. I'm going to take another shot. I'm getting a little iffier now. And I thought actually BYU was going to have to replace somebody, but I think I was a bet short anyway. So I have enough room for now. You know what? I'm going to give you my quick bet that I actually feel decent about. That's a weird bet. It's one more reach before I get to my over-unders that I don't like as much. Looking at the teams again, the 10, that threshold on the site of teams that'll win 10 games. And trying to look for a number there that maybe has a little juice that makes it worth it. I landed on our guy, Billy Napier.
Okay.
And the idea of Florida, they're 12-1 to win 10 regular season games. And if I'm going to bet on Billy Napier and Anthony Richardson, they're going to lose to Georgia. But I don't think there's any other game that you say, well, they have no chance to compete in that. And that includes the Utah game to open the season. So it's a little rough. Because all of a sudden, like, you know, you lose to Georgia, you lose to Utah, who's a top 10 team, and all of a sudden, like, you're out of wiggle room and you got to win all the others. But as a flyer for 12-1, there wasn't anybody else that I loved up, you know, sort of in double digit odds. So I'll bet $30 on that to win 360. I think almost like 12-1 is probably not good enough odds when you're playing in the SEC and you have Utah in the non-conference. But we just love Billy Napier on this podcast, so I'll bet them.
No, I'm a big Billy Napier fan. I have a lot of faith in what he can do. Like you said, I'm just worried that he has two likely losses on the schedule with Georgia and then with Utah in the non-conference. Now, maybe they have a chance to beat Utah. It's certainly not a totally, you know, guaranteed loss. But then they also go to Texas A&M, which I don't love. I think that Texas A&M is only going to be fine, but I think that they're probably just a little bit further along. But it, just for a flyer, just for $30, I don't hate it at all. I think that Florida is a lot more talented than people realize. And by the way, Anthony Richardson is going to be one of these guys that we are talking about at quarterback, I think, by the end of the year. Maybe more heading in to 2023, but if he fits well into this system, or by the way, if it's Jack Miller, right, who went over from Ohio State, I think that he's going to have a chance as well to potentially work into that conversation. So between those two guys, I expect them to have some answers at quarterback. And by the end of the year, I think this is going to be a really fun team. I just don't know if by the beginning of the year when they play Utah, they're going to quite be there.
All right. How many bets do you have left, Shahan?
So I have three left. So two that I have written down. And then how many do you have left?
I have three left. So we'll take our last break and we'll come back with our final bets here on the College Football Survivor Show.
And make sure and save your controversial one for last.
Oh, don't worry. I will. We got to tease the folks. We got to make everybody get all the way to the end. So you people can't leave. Come back after this. We'll be right back.
The College Football Survivor Show, where playoff survival is always on the line.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're back. Shahan, what do you got next for us?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple. You know, I feel like it's always weird for me to bring up this program because, like, I'm optimistic about them, but, like, I am so paranoid of people calling me a homer. But, like, Baylor just won 12 games last year, and their over-under right now is their odds to win 10 games, which wouldn't even require them to do anything different than what they did last year, is plus 550. That's insane to me. That's crazy. I mean, look, there's absolutely a chance that Baylor wins nine, and it's not that ridiculous, but plus 550? That just seems like insane value to me when you look at Baylor's schedule. Now, they go to BYU. That's going to be really tough. And there are multiple losable games on the schedule. At Oklahoma, I think at Texas is going to be a tough game versus Kansas State versus Oklahoma State. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't losable games, but, you know, you in our spring sort of look ahead at the season picked Baylor to potentially be a playoff team and win the Big 12. I'm not quite there, but I think that they don't have to win 10 games. So for me, I'm putting down 100 on Baylor. That would get me 550. And again, sometimes I look at Vegas and I'm just like, I'm clearly like, I'm sorry, did Dave Aranda take the Jets job? Like, am I missing something? I don't think I'm missing something. I think that that people are just a little behind on Baylor. I was going to take Oklahoma State at 300 to plus 300. And then I realized that Baylor had even worse odds. And I have more confidence in Baylor being that team that wins 10 games than Oklahoma State.
It's one of those things, I think, when you have a program like Baylor, and I don't think you don't want to call Baylor like an emerging program because they practically made the stinking playoff in 2014, but then they revamped, you know, it's the Dave Aranda version of Baylor's kind of an emerging program. And I think the thing becomes when you're trying to evaluate stuff like this, was the great year the year before the beginning of the new standard, or was it a peak that they can't rise up to? And I do think there are programs where the fact that they were good the year before and then there are expectations for the following year lessens the chances of them actually succeeding. So Baylor is going to have different kinds of expectations now. So what does that mean? But I think 10 wins, right? I don't think they're going to go away. I don't think Dave Aranda football is going away. So, and even like Oklahoma State, you know, to lose Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator, right? It's like, okay, well, but Baylor changed starting quarterbacks, but the guy that they picked and Gary Bohannon now left because they picked Blake Shapen, like they think that's better. And so I don't know. Is there anything that Baylor did last year that anyone would believe, oh, they can't do that again? I it doesn't feel like that would be the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to look a little different because they did lose, I think, their biggest stars in Jalen Petrie, who was a first-team All-American, and in Tyquan Thornton and Abram Smith. But what they lose in that, I think they make up for in having one of the best trench combos in the entire nation, and certainly in the Big 12, right? I mean, they have four starters back on offense, and they bring back every member of their two deep on the defensive line. And add, by the way, Jackson Player, who's going to be a big time player on the interior for them. So it's going to look different, right? Like, it's not just necessarily plug and play, but, you know, look, I think that we obviously went through this a little bit with Iowa State 2 years ago, where they won a lot of close games and then it kind of regressed. You know, that could happen, right? That absolutely could happen. But I think that Baylor's a more talented team. I think that they have a much clearer identity in terms of roster management and roster building. And the fact that they are the strongest team in the trenches, to me, really helps insulate them from some of the issues that I think Iowa State had. So to me, I don't even think that this is a lock that they win the Big 12, right? Or even that they make the title game. But winning 10 games, I think, is perfectly manageable for them.
All right, so Baylor to win 10 games at plus 550. Seems like a nice bet. All right. Do you have any? I'm going to have one now, which is just slightly like a team that's not good being slightly better than awful, right? That, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, are you, I thought maybe you'd come in and have a Lance Leipold bet and say, oh, I really believe Kansas over 2.5 wins is a sure thing.
I actually was thinking about that, but I was like, man, if I go Baylor and Kansas State, am I really going to do a third Big 12 bet? So I decided not to, but I absolutely would smash that over on Kansas.
Because, I mean, once you figure that, well, Kansas will beat Texas and then they only have to win two more games after that.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do it with Illinois. Okay. And I have a bit of a professional crush on Brett Bielema because I think he's just a pain in everybody's butt. And I kind of like that. And he conjured some wins out of nowhere last year at Illinois. And the talent is not where it needs to be yet. But I think he can conjure some stuff again. And so, you know, you look at Wyoming and Indiana and Chattanooga, and Purdue and Northwestern, and the over-under is 4.5. So I think you can see like 3 wins pretty darn easily, right? Not that Wyoming's a pushover, that Virginia's a pushover, you know, Chattanooga, that's probably the one win for sure. But I think they can jump up and bite somebody. I think sometimes you can look at a division like the Big Ten West and you look at it and think, ah, everybody there stinks. And then you can like dig into it and be like, well, I don't know, everybody's kind of tough. It's like, no, it really is not that good of a division. So Illinois can go steal a couple wins here and there. And so it's not like a lot of football science here. It's kind of betting on Bielema and a team that I don't think anybody really thinks is close to being here yet. But I just think they could be a lot closer to 6-6 than 2-10. And they stole games last year, and I think they can do that again. So 4.5, like, I don't love it. It's -110. I'll win $190 on it, but I'll put $100 on Illinois to win at least 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that for sure. I think that they are building an identity, and sometimes that's just the biggest thing in football, right? Is understanding what you want your team to do fundamentally. And so I think that there could be some value there. I'm probably a little less optimistic than you about where they're going to be, but you know, I think that is certainly worth a gamble, and they showed some real flashes, I think, for the first time in a while in year one. And so now I think, you know, if they could capitalize on some of that, that would be great.
All right. Next bet for you.
Yeah. So the bet that I was going to make is Utah over 9. 9 seems like a crazy low number for a team that we think could be in the college football playoff conversation. It's a little bit of a boring bet, to be honest. Like, it just feels very, very similar sort of mode to like Houston a couple picks ago. So I'm really trying to find one of those types of like way under the radar type things. But you know, I think that may be one that I'll consider. So I'll put Utah to the side because I think that that's just kind of boring right now. I think Duke might be really bad this year. I think that Duke might have a chance to be really, really bad this year. Not because I don't believe in their new coaching staff. They bring in Mike Elko as defensive coordinator from Texas A&M. But like, they go 2 Northwestern and 2 Kansas in the non-conference slate. And like, those might both be losses depending on what Kansas is up to. And their over-under is 3.5. So if they lose those 2 games, just hypothetically, I mean, they got to find 2 on the schedule somewhere, right? That seems really tough. I don't know who in the ACC they can beat because they go to Georgia Tech. That's maybe the one that you'd feel good about. But like, here, I'll just read off all their games. Who are they beating? Versus Virginia, versus North Carolina, at Miami, at Boston College, versus Virginia Tech, at Pitt, versus Wake. Who are they beating? I don't think they're beating anybody.
No, yeah, no. I thought the talent level in the ACC this year is pretty high.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes you can, I mean, again, in the past, I may have said things like, oh, the ACC, that stinks. But like, that's not true. Like, they have some really interesting teams, interesting coaches, interesting quarterbacks. And if you don't have that, and also the one thing is like, they don't have to be good. Not that they're going to try to lose, but like, they have a first year coach, they're Duke. Like, I just took my daughter on a college tour and we went by Duke. The whole, my God, they have so many Coach K t-shirts still left over there.
It's beautiful. My wife went to grad school there, and I love it over there. But also, like, you know, it's probably a lot more fun if you're a basketball player.
But I think they overbought on the Coach K commemorative t-shirts. I think they're going to be on the clearance rack soon, because at some point you got to make room for the John Shire t-shirt. So like,
yeah, I'm sure they'll be selling a lot of those. The John Shire glasses, that's what they'll be selling next.
They're also not selling any Mike Elko t-shirts. So like, if they go 1-11, like, it's okay. He can build something there. He can play young guys. He can try stuff. Again, not that he's trying to lose, but there's no pressure on them. And so, you know, Brett Bielema was making stuff up as he went last year. He was playing 14 offensive linemen at a time.
It was great.
Hiding the ball under the fullback shirt, you know, like he was like, I don't think Duke has to do that because like they have time. They're going to figure it out. So that feels like then leads you to an under.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's where I'm going. The odds aren't very good on it. It's minus 160 on those, but, you know, I still think it's worth putting some money down. And, I mean, up until this this final one, I haven't put down an under as yet. So I think it's just going to take some time. And I also just think that Northwestern is not going to be as bad as they were last year, in my opinion. And Kansas, I think, has a chance to move forward just a little bit. And so this is like a potentially program defining type win for Kansas in week four, whereas this is just like a game to Duke. Like, it's no big deal. So I think that there's going to be a motivation gap there when Kansas hosts Duke on September 24th.
Okay, I have two more bets left. I was in love with Ole Miss last year. I'm going to stick with Ole Miss. They won 10 games last year. The over under for them, and that was 10 in the regular season because they lost their bowl game. So they were 10-2 in the regular season. The over under 7.5. Jackson Dart at quarterback. I think they'll get pretty good quarterback play. And again, you start going through the schedule and there's a bunch of, I don't know, they could beat LSU. You know, they could beat Auburn. They could beat Texas A&M. I don't think you automatically look at all those games and say, nope, they'll lose. And so 7.5, I think, seems doable. I don't think they'll be sort of at the edge of the playoff mix the way they were last year, but 8-4 is good enough. And I'll believe in Lane Kiffin and throw $100 on over 7.5 at minus 140 to win $171. And I feel okay about that one.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that line and didn't know if I loved it. I kind of thought about Ole Miss and felt like they might be a little disappointing this year. But I mean, look, the reality is the line 7.5 and they're spotted 5 games. I mean, realistically, Troy, Central Arkansas, at Georgia Tech, Tulsa, at Vanderbilt. Those are 5 wins that are basically locks. And that's all in the first half of the season, by the way. So then get versus Kentucky. I think that's going to be a big game. Versus Auburn, I think that's a win personally. It's going to be tough in the second half of the season because they could legitimately, like, it wouldn't be a huge shock if they lost basically from LSU on. Like, it wouldn't be a huge shock, but I think that I trust Ole Miss enough. I think that Lane Kiffin is a good enough coach that they're going to win one or two of those 50-50 games. I think the Egg Bowl is going to be a huge game for them against Mississippi State. They get it at home this year. So I think that they can probably make it to 8. It'll probably be sweating at the end, you know, when it's that they have to win one of Arkansas or Mississippi State. But I think that they do get there.
It is one of those, when I looked at it, you start going through the schedule and like I was like, I think they might start 6-0.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, but then I think they might finish 0-6. So it's a belief in, you know, if they don't start 5-1 or 6-0, my 7.5 is going to be in trouble because they get everybody in the second half of the year. And so, again, I might be on the edge of my seat with this one. I don't think I'll be cashing this one in early November, but I'll take the shot with Lane. All right. So how many bets do you have left?
I just have one.
All right. Drop it on us.
You first.
Texas over.
Texas under.
Okay. The number is 9.
That's a big number. That's a big number.
When I looked at Texas's schedule, but haven't they won 9 games basically every year in the last 2 decades, right? Isn't that right?
What sport are we talking about?
I know. It's not basketball. These are 8 winnable games for Texas. Louisiana Monroe, UTSA, and you can dispute that in a moment. Texas Tech, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State, TCU, and Kansas. And then you have, so if that's, if they win those 8, now I'm not saying they are slam dunk going to win all those 8, but there are 8 games that they probably should be favored in all of those. Again, this is the team that you go to the sites, they're favored to win the Big 12. So I think they're favored to win those 8 games. And then they have Bama, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Baylor. So they, can they win one of those 4 games to get to 9, or could they win 2 of those 4 games to get to 10 and the over? I don't love it. I might have done it to troll you. I might have wasted $100 just to like listen to your reaction to it. But I don't not believe. Is this the? I don't not believe in it. So I think if they come out, like if they give Bama, if they hang with Bama at all in week 2, I'm going to feel pretty decent about the chances here, because then that's one loss. And then, okay, can they beat 2 of 3 of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Baylor and get the 10-2? But I like that we're going head to head. Are you like, how do you love this under? Do you, are you like betting your fake? You have a real house, but are you betting your fake house on it?
I mean, the thing that I love about it is that I think best case scenario, they're pushing, like best case scenario. There is no way, in my opinion, that they get to 10. Like, do you know the last time that they won 10 regular season games?
1936. No, I don't know.
That's actually, that does bring me to the fact that Steve Sarkisian had the worst first year record for a head coach since 1937. But that's not what I was getting at there. No, it was when some guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Colt McCoy was on campus in 2009. Yeah. Pre-shoulder injury, they did win 10 games in 2018, but it's because they won a bowl game after going 9-4 in the regular season. So it has not happened in a while. I think they're going to be better, right? Like, I think they're going to win 8 games and look pretty good while doing it. And I think that they'll be competitive in the games that they lose. But like 10 games, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of freaking games to try and win. And the thing with me too, is like, you don't even get that good value on it, right? Cause like, you know, on FanDuel, they have the odds of them winning 10 games. You only get +160 on that. And like we talked about, Oklahoma State, you get +300. Baylor, you get +550. Like, that's insane to me. That makes no sense whatsoever. And this isn't even me like saying that it's going to go badly. Like, I don't think it's going to go badly. I think they'll be fine. But it's just, you mentioned those games, right? So the games that are, so they're a lock to lose to Alabama, even if it's competitive, like, being competitive would be a huge victory for them, like it was when they played LSU back in 2019.
I will say, when we get to week two, I am hammering the Texas will be competitive against Alabama. However you bet that, I don't know what that
means. I'll make sure and remember it. But, you know, I mean, maybe if they're allowed to, like, add points for how many recruiting points they have in their 2023 class, then, like, maybe they can only lose by a lot. I don't know. But, you know, they get Oklahoma in Red River, obviously. That's always a tough game. They go to Kansas State, which is not a place that they've had a lot of success lately. And like we talked about, I think Kansas State has a chance to be pretty good. They're at Oklahoma State. If they got them at home, I'd feel a little bit better. But like, Oklahoma State is just one of those teams that's just so much better at home than they are playing anywhere else. You know, you get Baylor at home in the last week of the season. Maybe you've got things together by then. But like, man, even playing at Tech is like a game that could just be like an explosion of something happening in Lubbock. And like, you know, they're going to beat UTSA. I think that it's very comparable to their game against Louisiana last year. But like, there's just, I don't know. Iowa State and TCU aren't games that I think are locks either. Like, if you're asking me which games I feel like are relative locks that Texas wins, ULM, UTSA, West Virginia, at Kansas.
I like you making the case for Texas to go 2-7 in the Big 12. This is we have gone from will they win 9 regular season games to you're like, I just don't see a third Big 12 win.
So I think that they have 4 games that I would consider, and I'll throw in Iowa State since it's at home, right? So I think that they have 5 games that they are going to be heavily favored in, right? And then they have a few more games that I think that they'll be favored in. But like, in fact, they'll be favored in most of their schedule, I'd say, other than, I think, you know, we'll have to see what happens against Alabama and how bad it is. But it's just, to get to 10 regular season games, like, here's the other thing, too, is if you're going to, the nice thing about 9 and the over under is that you obviously get the push factor. And I think that that's probably the best bet, is that you just don't lose your money. I mean, if you want real value, like, you might as well go all the way and bet on them to win 10, which is still only +160. That's not even very good value.
I feel 9's too high. It should be really 8.5. I should win on 9, right? Because it's even like, well, what if Quinn Ewers is one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the country? It's like, well,
does he play linebacker?
They might go 9-3.
Does he play defensive end?
That might lift them to 9. Like, if he's not, if he looks like he's not ready just because he's young and he should have been in high school last year, they're going to go 6-6. So, like, this is,
feels like a very youth movement type year where, like, by the end of the year, we're like, oh, yeah, these guys are fun and they're going to be back. And, like, that's, like, usually if you kind of have that in your head, that's a 9-3 team, but, like, they also play Alabama. So that's why, for me, they're an 8-4 team.
Yeah. No, I think the public money on them is off right now because they're Texas, because of Quinn Ewers.
Because they're back, of course. Yeah.
So that's the hard part here. And again, that it's coming off a 5-7 season, starting a freshman quarterback. Their line, their over under is 9. Like, they're supposed to win 4 more games to push with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm probably crazy. But man, if I win, you're never going to hear the end of it. Oh my God.
So Steve Sarkisian has coached for 7 full seasons, not counting obviously the season that he got let go at USC. Out of those 7 seasons between Washington, USC, and Texas, by the way, 3 fantastic programs that have won a lot of games over the years. Do you know how many times he has lost fewer than 4 games in a season?
6.
He has never lost fewer than 4 games in a season.
Nice.
He has always lost at least 4 games. Now, not all. I mean, I want to be clear. This is not all like Steve Sarkisian's fault. It's all context. It's all part of a bigger thing. And he had good teams for sure, especially at USC. But like,
we're not talking about context and good teams. We're talking about, can they get the 9 wins and win Dougie Boy some money? And you're telling me he's never done it.
He's never done it. You know, and like the thing is, right, like there comes a place where it's like you lost 5 games, I think, last year. Maybe it might have been 6 that they led at halftime and they fell apart in the second half. And like when you're losing games like that a lot, you wonder if there's something fundamentally up, right? Like fundamentally wrong with what you're trying to do, with the strategy that you're trying to employ. Now, Steve Sarkisian is a very smart man who's forgotten more about football than we'll ever know. But at the same time, it's like, does he have the sort of foresight to kind of deal with some of the issues that they dealt with last year? I think that's going to be a huge question for them.
Just a reminder, everybody, this is fake money that I am willing to lose just to aggravate Shahan. Don't listen to me on Texas on this, okay? Shahan is making very compelling points. Sometimes you just say things on a podcast to get through the podcast. So if I had another bet to make, I might make it. But for $100 fake dollars, I will take the 1% chance that I'm right and Shahan's wrong, so I have something to talk about on this pod in December. Those are our bets. We will write them down. And we will revisit them at the end of the year and tell you how much money we might have won or might have lost. What's your favorite bet, Shahan, that you made? The one that you feel best about?
I really like my Coastal Carolina bet, to be honest. I think that is just... I'm missing something like that. I know that it's because, you know, these lines are made to get money going a certain direction, but like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And probably the other one that I like best, because I think that's my favorite one that I think I have a chance to win. I think that the best bet that I'm making, though, is Will Anderson for Heisman. I think the value that you're getting on that, it's going to be the prevailing narrative this year, in my opinion. It is going to be, let's get a defensive player the Heisman Trophy. And it's going to be like such a dominant Alabama year that we're literally going to be able to sit here and talk about, well, you know, they got 8 players who could win the Heisman. Which one do we want? And the answer is going to be Will Anderson, I think.
Yeah, that's the Jackson Smith and Jigman, Will Anderson for the Heisman. And then I just believe in Clemson. Yeah. Clemson over 10.5, I think, is a pretty solid bet for me. So, okay, that's that podcast. We are starting to get into time where, okay, it's going to be time to preview stuff. You guys can go back and listen to our Apple podcast for Apple podcast subscribers this week, where Shahan and I listed 10 things that are driving us crazy about college football at the moment. We also eventually will do 10 things we love about college football because we like the game. The stuff around it can sometimes make you a little nuts. So go back and listen to that. It's $2.99 a month to subscribe to Apple Podcasts for the whole month. You get 4 of those mostly every month. For now, make sure you're reading Shahan at cbssports.com. For Shahan Jeharaja, I'm Doug LeMaurice, and that was the College Football Survivor Show.
The College Football Survivor Show, where playoff survival is always on the line.